many of you. I might be wrong, but not many of you. It's not the same sermon, but it's a similar sermon. It's built on that sermon. So I'm going to talk about the laws of sowing and harvesting, of reaping in the season of God's faith, in our faith for God, in God, in the mission and ministry that God has called us to. When we go planting, before we do that, we need to acquire that seed. We need a seed. Without the seed, nothing will happen. As I look at this series, because you remember we're celebrating 155 years of Baptist witness in the city here by the existence of this church, of this fellowship. As I look at the history of the church and I was preparing and planning for this series, I look to see how this church was formed from one seed, a deal of a person who came up and said, I think it would be good to get a Baptist witness into the city. Just one seed, one idea that lasted over 155 years. And what we do today is we carry on pruning, praying, planting, changing the soil so that the fruit of that seed bears better and better and better fruit today. That's what we do. That's what the ministers before me have done here, and I pay tribute to that. That's what you as a fellowship are doing now, what people before you have done now, in its own time. And the seasons are changing. Sometimes it's sunny, sometimes it's raining. We need to know how to look after that seed, how to look after the plant that is growing, and so on. And this is the cycle that the church goes through. Sometimes we need to prune it and it's difficult. Sometimes we need to cut it all the way back. Sometimes we need to take it out of that soil and put it in a different soil according to God's will. It's all very different in order that that fruit will become healthier, better, and probably be bigger for the kingdom of God. But it all starts with a seed. And when you look at a seed, like Debbie said, it's just a small little thing, really, that sometimes nobody pays attention to it. And it grows into a massive, sometimes tree, or whatever it is, with an acorn or whatever. And a seed, and you might want to write this down, but I think a seed, what I will define a seed, what we plant as a seed, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, a seed is anything that builds people up. Anything that builds people up. If you give away praise, you plant the seed of praise, someone will grow with praise in their life. If you plant revenge, you will pick up at the end of the day revenge. If you plant, I don't know, love and forgiveness and understanding and patience and joy and kindness, you will reap those kind of fruit. Now, I'm not naive, and I want to say very clearly and very gently that, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute, but one of the laws of the harvest is that I plant to the best of my knowledge, the best of my ability, to the grace that God has given me. I do my best to plant forgiveness and love and grace and joy. But I know that sometimes I fail to do them, number one. Number two is that alongside me as a sower, as a farmer, there are others who plant other seeds. You know, we plant the best seeds that we can for our children. But when you send them to school, when you send them into society, there are other people who plant other seeds. And they can go on different avenues. And they can go into other soils, watered by other different springs other than of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to keep those in mind, that we do our best to show what the kingdom of God could be like. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And one of the characteristics of my faith is to plant as much as I can the kingdom of God's values here on earth, of love and forgiveness and so on, knowing full well that there is another sower alongside in this world. So what kind of seeds are you and I planting in our relationships today? Planting the seed, this is the second step. Nothing happens until the seed is planted. It must be given away. It can't do any good if you just hold it in a bag or whatever. You want to just put it in the ground and not water it, as Abby said, or whatever. Jesus used this principle to explain why he came to die. In John 12:24, Jesus says this: unless a grain of wheat, and that's the seed, yeah? Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, it cannot reproduce. But if it dies, it will produce much fruit. Planting, it's an act of faith. You plant it, I guess you water it, make sure that it's got the right water, the right light and everything else, the right soil, but then let God grow it. And we don't see that, how it happens. It's only God that sees that. Planting seed is also very risky, because you can't see what's happening in the soil whatsoever. You know, if you buy those lovely flowers that need, is it echinaceous soil, whatever? Yeah, I know. If you buy those plants and if you don't put them within that soil, and if you put them in a normal soil, they will not thrive, they will not grow, they will wither, they will dry. And it's the same here. It's a very risky thing. We need to know the soil the seed needs to be planted on, so that we can buy we match the soil with the seed that we buy, with the plant that we want to grow. As such, there are sometimes, I think, as I said from the beginning of this message, where we need to pray, to plan, to prepare, and to plant. If we only do one of those, or only two of those, we can pray as long as we like, and we can plan as long as we want, as I said, but if we don't plant, we just may become monk Baptist church. Because prayer always has to have some faith, has to have a social action tag to it. Then it's preparation, and then you come back to prayer, and so on. It's a fantastic cycle that God has called us to, into through this metaphor of agriculture. Then it's what we call picking the fruit. So you take the seed, you plant it, and you hope that one day you'll be able to pick some lovely fruit from that plant. This is the law of reproduction. Whatever I plant is whatever I will harvest, I will reap at the end of the day. If a farmer plants a field of beans, what crop should he expect to get? Watermelon? I doubt it. He wouldn't get watermelon. Now, if I plant wheat, as the scripture says, in the ground, am I going to get tomatoes? I'm not going to get tomatoes. You're going to get exactly what you plant in life. And that's one of the other laws of harvesting in our Christian faith. You will reap exactly what you plant. That's why God calls us to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. How will that kingdom come? Unless I plant the seed that needs to be planted, of love, gentleness, joy, forgiveness, and so on. That's how the kingdom comes today. I plan that other might one day reap the harvest, if it might not be me. There's a phrase in Genesis, says, and he says it all over and over again. He says, after its own kind, God produced, made the earth, planted everything in it, and the vegetation produced after its own kind. That phrase is talking about always reaping the same thing that you plant. But there are some negative examples. In Job 4:8, we look at this last year. Was it this year? Last year? This year? People who plant trouble harvest it. In Proverbs 28 says, whoever sows sin reaps weeds. In Proverbs 28 again says, those who plant seed of injustice will harvest disaster. Matthew 7, whatever measure you use to judge others will be used to measure how you are judged. Some positive examples: the one who sows righteousness will reap a sure reward. Plant good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of my life, in Hosea chapter 10. In James chapter 3, peacemakers plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. You will reap what you sow, and you get exactly what you put out. I cannot sow irresponsibility and reap success and harvest glorious, mighty success. Now, the person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, I love this in the message, harvest a crop of weeds. That's all he'll have to show for his life. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvest a crop of real life, eternal life, eternal life. Then there is the time of growing. There is a time between the planting, the acquiring the seed, the planting, and the actual picking the fruit is called the time of growing. Usually, I always reap in a different season that I owe. If you plant, a tree or whatever you plant. Why have we been planting? Why have we been planting recently something? No, I don't know whether we've been planting anything that we can eat in our garden. But usually if you're planting in spring, it will come out in the autumn, wouldn't it? Or a few months later or a few weeks later. And sometimes it's like this in faith. We plant in faith, whatever it is, love and joy and forgiveness and so on. And sometimes you might not see results. I was reminded this when I used to take assemblies years ago, in Charlton, wherever I was, going to schools. And you go and like Debbie and all the others through NISCO, they go and talk to the children in school, like any teachers in this congregation who goes to school and teaches, they plant the seed all the time. But they will, very few of them see the fruit of the labor, or they might see very later in life as such. They do all the planting, they put all the seeds in, and very rarely they get to see the real fruit of that, probably years and years later. And it's the same in our faith. As we plant to allow for the kingdom of God to come on earth, sometimes we might not see the real fruit until very, very later on. I don't know, I was looking on the internet to find out how some of these plants that grow. It says that grapefruit takes between 2 to 6 years to see the fruit from a seed, grapefruit. Anything between 2 to 6 years. Amazing. It was another thing that I can't even pronounce it, but it starts as a small little seed, and it takes 9 years to grow in a fruit as such. Time to grow. And this is your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom come takes time. God's kingdom, it is here now, through all love and care that we show to people. And yet God's kingdom is still to come. We are called to be faithful sowers of the seed. Full stop. He will grow it. He will make the fruit look the way he would like, according to the way we have planted it. Then there is a time when we come to get a basket full, hopefully, of blessings. As you are waiting on the seed you planted, you don't become impatient. Even if you want to. If it says on that thing that it's going to take 6 months of germination, or whatever they call it, that is going to be. It's going to take 6 months of seeing some fruit from your tomatoes or whatever it is. And Galatians says, let us not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. If we continue to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. If we continue to love, care, forgive, and do whatever God calls us to do, one day we might not be the people who will pick up the basket of blessings, but there will be others after us. God calls us to be faithful servants and not successful pickers of the great baskets. Sometimes he does. Number 6, plant by faith and not by feelings, how I feel on the day. God has called us to continuously plant the fruit of the Spirit, the seed of his vision and mission of his kingdom. I plan by faith and not how I feel on the specific morning. And that's a very important point. I plant by the faith that God has given me. When the farmer gets up in the morning, do you think every farmer expects to feel good about going to work on his farm? I don't think he does. It's hard work every time he gets up. If a farmer only works his crops when he feels like it, no much will ever get done. No much will grow. You don't go by your feelings, but by your faith. And you don't live by feelings, but by faith. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. This is Psalm 125. And finally, planting, it's now and it's forevermore. For as long as the Lord will allow us to be here on this earth, we are to plant. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no break from planting. There might be some waiting, but even during waiting, it could be pruning time. Even during waiting, it could be praying time. Even during waiting, it could be watering time. Even during waiting, before the fruit comes out, it could be an envisioning time. The best time to plant is now. We usually wait for a better time. Or, you know, you usually hear people saying, oh, it was never so evil in my day, but now it's an evil world. No, it isn't. It's been evil all the way. Sin has been all the way around. Now is the time to keep on planting. If those people 155 years who started this church would have said, well, it's not the right time, you know, because if you look at the history, there have been some big issues between them and the Anglican church down the road and all that stuff. And you can say, well, it's not really, you know, we shouldn't do that because it's out of a split. We shouldn't start planting another church. They decided now is the time. And seven of them got together and said, yes, now we're going to do it. And we're going to plant a new church and a new seed. And this is what they came, even now 155 years later. Those who wait for the perfect weather will never plant. Well, you know that. We all know that now. I can call myself as a Brit. If you wait to go on holiday, according to the weather, you will never, ever go in this country on holiday as such. There is no perfect weather. And those who look at every cloud will never reap a harvest. Indeed, sometimes perfection paralyzes potential. One of these days, we usually hear people saying, one of those days I'm going to do that or the other. But it actually never happens. Planting happens now. You know what? It's never been a better time. Planting, praying, pruning, waiting, turning the soil. It's never been a better time. And those are seasons that God has called us to. Meanwhile, don't forget, God has called you to plant in season and out of season the seeds of love, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, all the way through. All the way through. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called us to be farmers in your kingdom. Thank you for entrusting us with the seeds of your kingdom. Seeds of love, of joy, of kindness, of self-control, of forgiveness and grace. And Father, you have given us, each one of us, basketfuls of those seeds. Basketfuls that we have picked up from the cross of Jesus. Basketfuls that we go daily to pick up from the cross of Jesus. Where we pick up joy, forgiveness, love, grace. And Lord, forgive us when the times when we pick them up, we keep them in our baskets, and we do not go planting. And sometimes we waste them. Lord, we pray today that you will give us the Spirit, your Spirit in our lives, that our lives will become fruitful for the kingdom. We pray that we will become faithful farmers in our world today. A world that is so suffering, so full of weeds called sin. Would you call us? Would you empower us and equip us to go planting the seeds of peace where there is conflict? The seeds of joy where there is pain. The seeds of grace where there is no hope. The seeds of a listening ear where there is loneliness. Lord, we pray today, thy kingdom come here in Lancaster, here in our country, here on this earth, as it is in heaven. And Lord, begin with our seed. Begin with my seed as I plant it into the soil of this world. May we never get tired or weary of planting the seeds of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just before communion, we're going to sing a song that speaks about faith and trusting God. Feel free to stand or sit.